We're talking about aspirin and new guidance about taking it. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. A recent study out of Harvard found that an estimated 29 million people who are age 40 and older were taking an aspirin a day despite having no known heart disease in 2017, and that's the latest data available. Millions were doing it on their own without a doctor's recommendation. So do you take a daily aspirin? And if so, why? Did your doctor recommend it, or was this a decision you made for yourself? If you're not a daily aspirin taker, use it occasionally. What do you use it for? Pain relief? Something else? Join in at 800-642-1234. Cardiologist Steve Kopetsky is with the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He's also a past president of the American Society of Preventive Cardiology. Dr. Kopetsky, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate.
So can you explain for us what aspirin is and how it works?
That's a good question. Because it's really one of the oldest drugs we have. It's been around for over 100 years, and it appears that it blocks platelets. Platelets are little cells that clot. They're about one-seventh the size of a red blood cell. And when there's a damage to your lining of your artery, such as that occurs with high cholesterol or high blood pressure or smoking, sometimes that damage will occur and it will tear the lining of the artery, and that's when the platelets go into action. They start to clot, they aggregate, there'll be billions of platelets in a single clot, and aspirin blocks that mechanism of the clotting of these platelets.
And that's kind of where this aspirin a day regimen came for people who had had a heart attack?
That's right. And it's been shown that if you've had a heart attack, it really is helpful for you if you have known heart disease, such as if you've had a stent or had a heart attack or have had arteries that have been bypassed in your legs or your up to your head. Then aspirin is very helpful.
It seems recently, though, there's been some confusion over taking aspirin. Do you have patients asking you questions about it?
Oh, all the time. And a lot of doctors ask questions, too, because the guidelines and the recommendations and the studies have changed over the years. We've assumed that it's been helpful for everybody, but we're finding that's not quite the case.
Well, yeah, over 100 years, you'd think we'd know quite a bit more about aspirin and exactly what it does.
No, that's a good point. And the thing with aspirin is that it's generic, it's free, almost, it costs very little. And if it was a very expensive drug that cost a lot of money, I think we'd have a lot of studies looking at it and deciding when do we use it, when do we not use it. But because the nature of aspirin, the cost of it's so low, that those studies really have not been done.
Okay, so in what situation is it okay to take an aspirin? Outside of this daily aspirin regimen and heart disease, on occasion, is it okay to take an aspirin?
Yeah, good question. So if you have disease, arteries that are narrowed, it's helpful to take it. Now, what if you don't? What if you just think you do? Or your brother had a stent, or your mother died about the same age of a heart attack that you are now? Then what we do is try to assess patient's risk. And it's a risk for both having a heart attack or a stroke and the risk for bleeding. And the reason that's important is as you go through life, your risk of heart attack and stroke goes up, which we all understand. But as you go through life, your risk for bleeding on aspirin goes up faster. So that just taking aspirin may not be that great of an idea because of the side effects, which are bleeding.
Is how much aspirin is too much? Is there a real threat to bleeding and as you take a higher dosage?
Well, there is a threat, and there is an issue. Mainly it's in your gut. You can get gut bleeding. It's rare, but you can also get bleeding into your head. But those are the two main issues. Some people get what are called nuisance bleeds, that you cut yourself shaving and you bleed for a little longer time. You have to hold pressure. Or bruising. That can be a real issue, especially with the elderly, is they walk through a door jam, they hit their arm on the door, they get a big bruise, and the dosage does seem to play a role. We recommend what's called adult low dose. We don't call it baby aspirin anymore because babies don't take aspirin. So we call it adult low dose, which would be 81 milligrams.
We're learning about aspirin and taking your questions along the way. Dr. Steve Kopetsky is a cardiologist at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. What questions do you have about aspirin? Are you a daily user? Why do you take it? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234 with your questions or your stories. Dr. Kopetsky, why was aspirin prescribed to children to begin with, or why was baby aspirin around for so many decades? I remember it in my childhood. It tasted like orange flavor.
Right. Because really, it was the only thing we had for many years to treat a fever that was a pill, and it was really a miracle drug when it came out. I have understood that the name aspirin comes from the Spirea plant, S-P-I-R, and it was originally actually manufactured by Bayer in Germany, and they're still the biggest seller of aspirin, at least in this country.
So Bayer still holds the market for aspirin. Is that market kind of leveled off, do you see, or are we finding new ways that aspirin might work for preventative health measures or other types of health measures?
Well, about a third of the population in general takes aspirin daily, the adult population. And so it's, when you think about it, that's a huge number of people taking one pill every day. What we've tried to do, though, is to risk stratify patients and talk to them about it. And there's phone apps, there's places online you can go on the American College of Cardiology. You can do a risk score, and it's called ASCVD Risk Plus. ASCVD stands for atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, which is a fancy word for narrowing of the arteries. And you can look at your risk for having a heart attack or a stroke over the next 10 years. And if the risk is over about 7.5% and you don't have any bleeding issues, meaning you haven't had bleeding problems in the past, that then you consider going on the aspirin. If your risk is over 15%, we really do recommend that the aspirin be started. It's interesting that aspirin reduces first heart attack in men, but it doesn't reduce first heart attack in women.
Why is that?
Well, that's a good question. Men and women are equal, but they are very different physiologically. Men and women develop different narrowing of the artery, patterns of the narrowing of the arteries than the other one. Meaning that women develop disease in the blood vessels that go to their head in different places than men do. And so it's interesting that aspirin does prevent first heart attack, or first stroke, rather, in women, but it doesn't prevent first stroke in men. So you have to individualize. And if we have a woman who says, gee, my mother had a stroke about my age, should I be on aspirin? And we do a risk calculation. If it's high enough and she doesn't have bleeding issues, you know, talk to her about it, and maybe suggest the aspirin, especially with the stroke issue. It's not the same in men. It doesn't really work that well for men for first stroke. But if a man is much more likely to have a heart attack, then we certainly would consider it for him. The other issue about aspirin is that it does seem to have benefit on reducing colorectal cancer. The thing about that, you have to take it for longer, maybe 5 to 10 years for it to reduce the cancer. But with heart attack or stroke, can reduce it much quicker.
Well, let's take a call now. Jessica joining us from Mequon. Hi, Jessica.
Good morning, Chase. Good morning, Doctor. How are you today?
Good morning. Very good. Thanks.
Great. So I have a question. I actually studied physiology in my undergrad and enjoyed it very much. And one of the things I remember that stuck with me is that aspirin is actually metabolized by the kidneys as opposed to the liver, like many other things are. And so I wonder what you think about occasionally taking aspirin, you know, at any stage of life as an adult, just to give your liver a break, if that's a reasonable way to use aspirin.
That's an interesting thought. The liver is an amazing organ that metabolizes almost all of our drugs, as you pointed out. The thing about the aspirin, and you can also put in that category the other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen or naproxen, that it can affect the kidneys. And if you have kidney dysfunction or your kidneys don't work well, you have to be careful with these drugs that do affect the kidney, like any of these NSAIDs, as they're called, including aspirin. So I wouldn't do it to give your liver a break. I would be more concerned about your kidney. If your kidneys don't work well, I would shy away from just taking it randomly.
Thanks so much, Jessica. Let's go to Cindy now in Belleville. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Kate. Thanks.
Sure.
My question is about people with blood type A positive. I'm type A positive. My family, I have a strong family history of heart disease, and I have been taking an 81 milligram aspirin a day, and been and in light of this new study, I'm wondering now if that's still a good idea. I know that type A positive people tend to be high platelet people. I'm sort of a super clotter. I always clot very, very quickly. So wondering if that's still a good idea for me.
You bring up some very interesting points. The blood type does help determine your risk for heart attack, and that's not widely known. And we know that if you have certain genes, like for diabetes or for high blood pressure or high cholesterol, that increases your risk for heart attack. But just having a gene for type A blood increases your risk of heart attack by about 20% if you had an identical twin who had a different blood type. If you're type B, it also increases your risk for heart attack by about 20%. And if you're type AB, it increases it about 40%. So you're right, you are at a little increased risk for heart attack. Now, having said those numbers, lifestyle can overcome that. You know, if you have a bad lifestyle, your risk for heart attack goes up 400%, not just 40%. So with your question, the aspirin may be a good idea with you. I would certainly suggest doing a risk score, this risk score we talked about a minute ago. And if your risk is high, certainly, you know, the 15% range over the next 10 years, then aspirin may be a very good idea if you don't have bleeding problems.
We're talking with Dr. Steve Kopetsky, a cardiologist at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, talking about aspirin, how we use it. Are you confused about the changing guidelines on aspirin? What questions do you have about aspirin in general? Have you had a conversation with your physician about aspirin? How did it go? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about an aspirin a day regimen and the changing recommendations on taking aspirin. You're with us on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Do you take aspirin? And if so, did that come from a physician recommendation? Join in at 800-642-1234. Mayo Clinic cardiologist Steve Kopetsky stays with us and answers your questions about aspirin. Dr. Kopetsky, Pete from Reedsburg shared over email that he has heard about aspirin working as a cancer preventative. What do we know about that link, if any, between aspirin and preventing cancer?
Yeah, good question. But it does seem to reduce colorectal cancer risk. So cancers that are in your colon, your large intestine, or your rectum. But you have to take it for a longer amount of time, usually up to a decade, before you can really see the benefit. Why that is not clear. Originally, it was thought that maybe it just caused a little more bleeding, so people went to their doctor for bleeding and they found the cancer earlier, but that's not really the case. It does seem to appear to reduce inflammation, which is what it does in the arteries, too. And inflammation can lead to blood clots, can lead to cancer. And so that's been the theory, that the reduced inflammation that occurs with that causes all these diseases is improved by the aspirin.
Let's bring in another call. Paul joining us from Wausau. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, my question is that I had a cardiac bypass surgery about a year ago, 52 years old, and was on Plavix and aspirin until last June. I was having some stomach problems and went off both. Do you see that being an issue?
If you've had bypass, you certainly have coronary artery disease, and it may be helpful to be on one of those drugs instead of both. I would certainly advise talking to your doctor about it. It was interesting that a study over 20 years ago called the Capri study compared aspirin alone to Plavix alone, or clopidogrel is the generic name, and actually found that the Plavix was a better drug than aspirin for inhibiting blood clotting, and it actually had less side effects. So what we're starting to do now is, in some patients that have problems with aspirin, we're actually just giving them the Plavix, the generic Plavix or clopidogrel. But, of course, that needs to be talked with your caregiver.
Paul, thanks so much for the call. Tom now in Eau Claire. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'm calling from Eau Claire. I'm a 65-year-old male. I have emphysema, and they have set me in for a CAT scan and then a PET scan. That was in 2017. It came back that I have a growth on my left lung. Since then, I had two more, and they weren't sure if it was cancerous. Well, I had gone by the recommendation of my cardiologist, who also is probably a colleague of the doctor who's on the air right now, because he works
at Mayo.
Eau Claire.
Yeah,
Mayo at Eau Claire. Anyway, it turns out that it was cancerous, and I had the tumor removed. That was on July 9th. But I had started a regimen, I guess, or taking aspirin through the cardiologist. How I got to him was my...
How long have you taken the aspirin regimen, Tom?
It's about 3 months now.
How is it going?
I'm taking two a day, baby aspirin. It seems to be working fine, but I'm curious to know under what circumstances, or I guess how truly bad my heart would be to take two baby aspirin a day.
Dr. Kopetsky, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can't. It's hard for me to comment on your specific case, but in general, we find that almost all patients respond to 81 milligrams of aspirin. There's a small percentage, maybe about 10%, that need more than that. But that's usually 81 milligrams is just fine.
Tom, thanks so much for the call. Dr. Kopetsky, Paul earlier in Wausau said that he started having stomach problems from taking aspirin. What are the possible side effects of a daily aspirin regimen? What might happen?
Yeah, that there's a systemic effect, meaning that when you take an aspirin, it affects all over your body. And one of the things it can do is affect your stomach and give you some upset stomach. It we used to think that if you would take like a baby aspirin and chew it, or this chewable adult low-dose aspirin we call it now, that wouldn't get to your stomach because it can be absorbed in your oral cavity and it wouldn't bother your stomach. But that's not the case. Anywhere you absorb it, it can affect your gut and affect your stomach, and can certainly give you some upset stomach. It may be that he's got a little ulcer disease. That's commonly seen when you find someone that takes aspirin and has problems in their gut. We usually have to look at that further to see what's going on.
Is it possible to have or to develop an allergy to aspirin?
There is such a thing as allergy to aspirin, yes. And it can be troublesome, especially if patients have asthma. There may be a little higher incidence of it with patients with asthma. The aspirin allergy, if that's the case, it's really only maybe 1% or 2% of patients. But if that's the case, we usually give them alternative agents like the clopidogrel or generic Plavix. But that has to be really looked at, I think, by their caregiver to see if they truly have an allergy or not.
We briefly touched on children and babies earlier. Is there anyone who absolutely shouldn't be taking aspirin under any circumstances?
Well, we don't give it anymore, as you alluded to earlier, in children for fevers. We give them other things like acetaminophen. The people that shouldn't take it, the ones that clearly have bleeding problems on aspirin, ones that have true allergies to aspirin, certainly should not be on it.
So let's say a healthy person has been taking a daily aspirin, and now under the new guidelines, they need to stop. Are there any immediate health consequences when you break a daily aspirin routine?
Yeah, good question. If you are high risk and you shouldn't go off the aspirin, there are risks of having problems like with heart attack. But if you're low risk, and that's the ones that we tend to take off the aspirin, the risk of a stroke or heart attack is extremely low, and it does not seem to bump up. It's the ones that have known disease that really are more likely to have problems, known heart disease.
So as a physician, you know, what do you think when these new studies come out about aspirin that look at it from a very long time, take a long time to study, that kind of upend some things in the medical community? What is your take inside the doctor's office?
Well, you have to look at these studies very, very carefully and not just read the headline I found. I have to read the whole study myself and see what it actually did and what it actually found. For instance, these recent studies that came out, there were three of them within a month, about a year ago, that said aspirin not good in diabetics, aspirin not good in elderly, and everybody was getting off aspirin. If you look at the actual studies, it showed that if the problem with aspirin, as we talked earlier, is that it's over-the-counter. So a lot of people that aren't taking aspirin in a study take it anyway because they can buy it easily and take it. And there's about 1,200 products over-the-counter at least that have aspirin in it. So you have to look at the study and say, does it really benefit the patient or not? And most studies have shown if a patient is high risk for a heart attack or stroke and they don't have bleeding risks, then an aspirin will help them. And that's not the message, I think, that got out there from the press in the interpretation of the headlines of these studies a year or so ago.
So do you anticipate that these new aspirin guidelines, that these are the be-all, end-all, or will our use of aspirin evolve in the future, in the next 100 years?
Well, I certainly hope so. I would like to hope we don't have to take aspirin. We find newer and improved ways of preventing heart attacks and strokes. But if we do still taking aspirin, and it is a good drug, as we talked earlier, if we're still taking aspirin, I hope that our knowledge will evolve. I mean, that's what medicine is we try to learn every day and improve the care we give patients.
Dr. Kopetsky, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Dr. Steve Kopetsky is a cardiologist at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. He is also a past president of the American Society of Preventive Cardiology. We've been looking at new guidelines on using aspirin and the aspirin-a-day regimen. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.